Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
Well, welcome to Family Talk, the broadcast ministry of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh. You know, strong marriages are built on understanding, and yet research shows that many couples struggle to truly connect because they communicate in fundamentally different ways. It's not that husbands don't love their wives. They often just don't know how to express it in ways that she will receive. Well, on today's edition of Family Talk, we're exploring breakthrough insights about how men can better understand and communicate with the women they love. Our guests today are best-selling authors Jeff and Shanti Feldhahn, a husband and wife team who spent nearly two decades researching the differences in how men and women think, feel, and process emotions. Shanti Feldhahn's book, For Women Only, opened countless eyes to how men think, and now they're sharing equally powerful revelations in the book, For Men Only, A Straightforward Guide to the Inner Lives of Women. Through extensive research, including focus groups and national surveys, the Feldhahns have discovered the miscommunication often stems from different emotional wiring. They'll share why women need reassurance in ways that surprise many men, and how wives process conflict differently than their husbands. They'll also look at how simple actions can transform a marriage. So here now is our host, psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson, to introduce our guests, Jeff and Shanti Feldhahn, here on Family Talk.
Shanti Feldhahn has a B.S. in Government and Economics from the College of William and Mary and an M.A. in Public Policy from Harvard University. And before she began writing, she was an analyst of Wall Street and had held numerous public policy positions. She's a mother of two. And Shanti, it's good to see you again.
It's great to be back.
Jeff, good to have you here. Jeff has a Juris Doctorate from Harvard Law School and has worked as an attorney in New York and Atlanta. He was a founding partner of SBS Legal Services, a virtual law firm, and he is the former founder and president of World21, a tech company. And now he's a speaker and an author, and we're delighted to have you with us.
Great to be here.
You played a role in writing this second book. You
didn't
the first one, right?
That's correct, other than being the subject matter.
How was it that you got pulled into this one?
You know, it was one of those things that it needed to be written in a man's voice, in an average guy's voice, and I'm just an average guy.
Ah, well, there's a lot of good information in this book. And Shanti, so good to have you back.
Great to be here.
Your first book took you on quite a ride, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Sort of a rocket ship. I felt like I just had to strap in and hang on. It's been fabulous.
Did
it's
you
really
ever believe that that book would take off like
Are
that?
Are you kidding? It was. It's been fun.
And the reason it did is because you touched a nerve.
Did.
You taught women how men think.
Stuff and, they didn't know. Yeah.
And they really didn't know. Isn't it amazing? We live together. We're husbands and wives, most of us, and yet we really don't understand our spouses.
I'd been married for almost 10 years when I started doing the research, and there were so many things I realized were absolutely foundational that I did not get about my husband. And I realized, whoa, most of us women don't know this about our men.
All right. Now, what we're going to talk about this time is not how a man thinks, but how a woman thinks. And Jeff, that's where you come in.
It is.
In writing the sequel, the other half to Shanti's first book. Why did you agree to do that?
You know, that's a good question, and I haven't really got an answer or had an answer over the time, but I'm glad I did it. You know, it's one of those things that when they ask me to write along with Shanti, I had two real reservations. One was, I don't know if any guy will ever read it, for one thing, even if the content is great.
It's a relationship book.
It's a relationship
book.
Guys don't read these sorts of things. And then the second is, I really think that most women can't be understood. I mean, it's kind of, I said to her, I said, I think they're really kind of random.
And I went, excuse me?
Those were my reservations.
In fact, one of you wrote in the new book, which I have here, For Men Only, A Straightforward Guide to the Inner Lives of Women. You wrote that a woman is like a swamp.
That would be me, and, and probably not a great choice of analogies. And it was more of along the lines of Shanti said, "No, women aren't random. We're firm terrain that can be mapped." And I said, "Yeah, if you ask most guys, we'll probably say not firm terrain, more like a swamp." And you know, every guy knows when they venture into a swamp, sooner or later, you're going to step into quicksand. And once that happens, the best thing to do is not to struggle.
All right, shut down.
Yeah. Well, when Shanti was here before, she made the point that many women are clueless about what the man is thinking and how he thinks. You're saying the same thing is true about men, that they are pretty clueless about women.
You know, I think overriding, men love their wives. They really do. But they really don't know how to communicate it in a way that is effective with their wives because they just don't think that they can understand them. They feel perplexed by them.
So you believe there are some straightforward principles and conditions that men could understand if they just took the time to do it.
Yeah, and they just part of it is they haven't ever had that tool, I don't think. Many men have not ever been approached with this, you have this assumption, and I hate to tell you, buddy, but it's wrong. Your wife can be understood, and here's the principles. And here's a couple of simple things that you can do that can change everything.
And that's the important thing right there, that it is really simple. It's not splitting the atom. It
isn't, which is what you thought originally.
It's what I thought.
Well, where did you get your information, Jeff? I mean, obviously, a lot of it came from Shanti, but where else did you find it?
Well, we approached it the exact same way that she approached the Four Women Only book, and that was we conducted focus groups to find out what were the questions. And I was basically in all of those focus groups with all of these women. I was the surprise meter. I was, as I refer to myself, I was the embedded male.
And you know, like
I
the embedded
just
journalist.
There to figure it out.
And were they all women?
They were all women.
Yeah.
And what we did was we took those questions, those surprises, and then we, you know,
tested them. Oh, we did a big national survey, just like we did in For Women Only,
right.
A scientific survey to help prove to the guys that this truly is common to all women. Your wife is not just weird. This is very common.
But she is very different from him. Right?
Very different. Yeah. You know, and it's odd. We as guys would not expect our wife to bench press the same amount of weight that we can bench press at the gym. Yet somehow when it comes to emotional things, I just assumed that she was processing things the same way that I do it. And she doesn't.
All right, go to the heart of it. What's the first thing you learned?
You know, I think the most critical issue is that in almost every woman that was surveyed, there is this underlying insecurity about whether or not their husband really loves them or will continue loving them. You know, for a guy, that's a foreign concept to me. When we got married, I knew that Shanti loved me, and it doesn't arise in my mind anymore. Even when we have a conflict,
yeah.
I don't think that, you know, she's stopped loving me. But that's not necessarily the case with women.
It's so interesting. And this is one of these cases where when we started comparing notes with other women, what I heard a lot from some of my girlfriends was, I thought this was just me. And instead, the survey said this is 80% of women. You know, they could be secure in their relationship. They can have a great relationship. But underlying that, there is this latent insecurity that asks the question, does he really love me? And when that insecurity is triggered, when you two have an argument and it rises up, that insecurity rises up and it becomes this kind of gut-twisting, are we okay? And that, to a guy, is so foreign. Like, why would we have a problem just because we had an argument?
But we went off to work.
Yeah, you go off to work, you shut it off, and you go about your day. For the woman, she can't. It's their sort of really bothering her and what she needs, what we sort of tell the guys, because they're all about just tell me what to do about it, you know? Yeah. What we tell the guys is all that she needs is to be reassured. That is all that she's looking for, to give her the peace that, honey, I'm mad, yes, but we're okay. And that will allow a woman just to sort of settle and say, okay, we can have the space here.
I'm tracking you in this regard very carefully as I think about our early years, because Shirley was a very successful college student. She was one of the most popular girls in school, and she just had a lot of confidence, and yet she was insecure at this point. We had gone together for 3 years. She knew I loved her. There was no question about that. And yet, there were times when it surprised me that she needed reassurance about that. And if we ever did kind of have a little fuss, we never really did fight a lot, but we had a little fuss, I could go to sleep. Mm-hmm. You know, I just go to bed and go to sleep. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about it in the morning. And she'd lie there all night, and finally she'd reach over and hit me and say, you will talk to me about this. It was a very different thing.
And it's so foreign to the men. And here's truly what, there's so many ramifications for this, really, because what it means for a guy is that the way your wife needs to be approached when you suspect that maybe that insecurity has been triggered is totally different from the way you need to be approached. Like, for example, if Jeff and I, not that we ever have arguments, you know, ever, but, you know, on those rare occasions, right, when we do, you know, if we're mad and he sees me being just fuming, what's the guy thing to do? You see another man being upset, you do the honorable thing and you give him space. You That's give right. the other man space. And what we're telling the guys is, your wife doesn't need space. That insecurity has been triggered. She needs a hug. And it's just learning something completely that you didn't know before.
And you know, for us guys, I think what we need to do is have an analogy that works kind of for us. And if you think of most guys, we're wired to provide. And if you ask most guys, how secure do you feel in your job? A lot of guys will say, well, you know, I've had a good couple of years, but, you know, the industry could go south. You know, if I'm honest, I could be 3 or 4 mistakes away from, you know, losing a big client and getting fired. Women have told us that that's how we sometimes feel about our relationships. We could be 3 or 4 arguments away from things going bad.
Just like,
that's the same feeling. Yeah. So we can understand
it's
it on
one
level.
It's not rational, though.
No, it isn't.
It's not based on any evidence. Mm. It's a feeling, right, John?
Exactly.
It's a feeling. And really, honestly, I think that this ties back to the fall. And it really ties back to the way that the curse affected men and women differently. You know, that passage in Genesis talking about your desire will be for your husband and he will have a tendency to rule over you. And so many theologians talk about that, of the women constantly sort of looking to her husband for that reassurance that you love me. And it's really, that's what it feels like. It's not necessarily rational. You all, you men, never necessarily question. You sign the marriage document, you walk
down
the aisle,
it.
You say, I
it's
do.
That's life.
You never think about, does my wife love me? But that is a foreign concept to us women.
How in the world did the Apostle Paul understand this? I mean, in Ephesians 5, you know, he right. says, husbands, what?
Love your wives.
Love your wives.
Yeah.
And wives, what?
Respect your husband.
Now, when you were here before and in your first book, the centerpiece word was respect.
Yeah.
And here, the bottom line is love.
And what we are finding, though, with guys, they all know, most guys know that they need to love their wife. The thing that we've heard over and over is that they sort of feel like, I'm trying, but it's not getting through.
Yeah.
It's not being perceived. You know, one of our friends said, it's like I'm a radio tower and I'm broadcasting, but she's not got the same frequency or something. She's not receiving it. And that's basically what we are breaking down in the book and all these different surprises, the principles, as you put it, of that guys just tend not to realize. And it's so stinking simple once you actually just have a few pieces of information.
Yeah, on that reassurance point, guys, you have to come back. After you've had that argument and you say, I just need some space, you do have to come back and resolve those things. But you know, for the most part, it's a lot of the little things. It's not the Herculean tasks that we guys think. And we can sometimes paralyze ourselves into thinking, I can't show her how much I love her. I can't plan that romantic getaway every weekend, and it's paralyzing. Yet what they're really asking for is that 30-second voicemail in the week or a few days in the week or that little card that you drop on their seat of their car before she gets in to go
Post-it
to work.
Note, even.
Post-it note. Yeah. Just something that says, you know, you're such a great wife. I'm so fortunate to be your husband. And
if
it's easy stuff.
If it's sincere.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we talk about is that, you know, the two things over and over that we kept seeing in this area of reassurance is, and this insecurity that even secure women have, is that when that insecurity is triggered, reassure her. And in all other times, learn what these little things are that is the little pursuit day after day, which is what prevents a lot of the insecurity from being triggered. And it is so funny when you talk to women and you ask, you know, the average woman, and I was saying, you know, does your husband ever, for example, just leave you a voicemail during the day, 20 seconds, just to say, oh, honey, I love you so much. And that thing you did with the kids yesterday, you're such a great mom, gotta go. And I asked one woman this, and she said, yes, my husband, he did that 2 months ago. I've saved that voicemail. I replay it. Oh, that just made me feel so good. And Jeff and I realized, you know, if the husband heard his wife say that, he'd probably be shocked that it had this big impact.
It would not occur to him that that would be that important to her. That is kind of a bottom line explanation for what you're trying to say there, but it's not the whole story.
Where
do we go from there?
We have, you know, there's another issue that this one leads into. There's a whole nother principle that is a big surprise to guys because of the way and the differences in how men and women are wired and how we process thoughts and emotions, right? Yeah. And this is a silly example, but I think every guy has seen this at work. And it is the, for example, we say guys are sort of like a computer desktop with one window open at a time. That's kind of how you process your thoughts and your feelings. You got one window open, you'll work on the whatever it is, you click the X, you close it, you're done, you move on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. We women, we're like a computer with 10 windows open all at once, and we're thinking about all these different things and jumping back and forth between them. We've got a lot going on in our brain at any one time.
And here's where we might.
A lot of it is feeling content.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It is not situational. It is just
how they feel about it. Absolutely.
And to complicate matters, their computer desktop, and you might get letters on this one, but it's almost as if it's been infected with some sort of spyware. And that advertisement that pops up, you don't want it to pop up, and you click the X, but it keeps popping back up.
You can't close it over and over again.
They experience that.
That is basically one of the things we tell guys is that, you know, when your wife is being bothered by something, if there's something that has invaded her thoughts, what is the classic guy response? Just don't think about it, honey. Just don't let it bother you. And we tested on the survey what the vast majority of women said is, I have no idea what you're talking about. Just don't let it bother you, because we're clicking the X and it's not going anywhere. We can't just not think about things. We have to take some action to resolve them.
And they do not want to be told that this is not all that significant.
No, no.
At this point. And that, you know, a week or two from now, you won't even remember it. And you're overplaying it, or it may be the wrong time of the month, or any other.
You
get into deep water right there, don't
you? Real deep.
Yeah.
One of the things that we tell the guys is realize, because your wife is just not wired like you are. She just can't click the X and close it. You know, for example, we talked about, suppose you have an argument over breakfast in the morning. You can go off to work, click the X and work on your day, and it's not bothering you. You sort of figure you'll deal with it later at some appropriate time. For your wife, it's popping back up and invading your consciousness throughout the day, and it's that stirring in the gut painful. And so the thing that we always sort of tell the guys is what your wife really needs is to have sort of, and this sounds kind of funny, but it's sort of your permission to say, you know what, if this is really going to bother you, honey, let's talk about it, or let's deal with it. And that'll help her resolve the issue and move on. It's just, we have a completely different way of working it.
There are guys listening to us right now who really still don't understand what in the world you're talking about. I mean, Jeff, did you get it right?
Oh, no.
You had these focus groups. You had people around the table. How'd they get that across to you?
Oh, it took months. It took months. And
it sounds like a pretty simple principle.
It sounds like a simple principle now.
Well,
but it really wasn't,
so
because
different.
It's foreign to the way we think. And you know, the other thing is, quite honestly, with most guys, when their wife, you know, raises that question about how you did something, we run it through the filter of, she's not respecting me. She doesn't trust me that I know what's best. You know, our kids are going to be okay. And you know what we need to do? We need to just banish that assumption from our thinking, in that in most cases, she's not questioning your ability or your judgment. What is happening is that this is an open window as we talk about it, and it's really bothering and annoying to her. And, you know, it's not your ego that's at stake.
Jeff, what do you say when men say in response to this, what you're really telling me is that women are emotional babies, and I don't want to cater to that. And get over it. You know, there are many men that say that.
There are. And you know what the fact of the matter is? You deal with the reality of the world in which we live. And I want peace in my household. I want my wife to be built up. I want there to be happiness and joy. And, you know, you can stick to your guns all you want and be pretty unhappy with your marriage and your life. Or you can learn to bend and give a little and work with the parameters in which she's wired.
And remember, this is the way God wired us. This is God's decision.
You know, I wrote the book, What Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew About Women. And when I first began speaking on that subject, man, I'm telling you, there was anger in that room. And it was not all at me. It was between the husband and wife. And to some degree, it was at me because the husband was saying, what this guy is saying is going to cause me problems when I get home. And the wife is thinking, yeah, that's what makes me mad. And I had to put a lot of humor in. I had to do all kind of things to keep it from sinking into warfare.
Well, you know, one of the things that we tell both the husbands and the wives actually usually up front is that the way you guys are going to process this, you as men and as women, is totally different. When women hear the things they didn't get about their man, they're like, wow, honey, is this true? And it starts this great conversation. And wow, we haven't talked like this in years, you know, so they feel so close. Well, when the men hear what the women's side of it, the men don't usually get in the car and talk to the wife and say, is this true? It's like they start processing internally and they go sort of underground and they think it out, because you men tend to process by thinking it through, not by talking it through, right? Mm-hmm. And so the wife thinks, he doesn't care about me. You know, he's not talking about this. Yeah. But usually the guys really, truly are getting it. It's just really new information, and they kind of want to practice it and see if it really works. So that's another thing we need to warn your audience.
Yeah, what you're saying is after men and women have been to one of your events and they get out in the car, the conversation begins something like this. The woman says, well, what did you think? And he says, about what?
That's why we try to set those expectations from the beginning. Don't ask your husband that. You know, let him process it.
Well, that's interesting stuff. There is a little brochure, as I've said, in the front of this book that lists 7 principles that men need to understand about how women think. So we like to just continue this conversation. We're not there yet. I appreciate you all being here, and we'll pick it up next time, okay?
Terrific.
Great.
You know, it's fascinating how men and women process these conversations so differently, isn't it? While she is eager to talk it through in the car, he's quietly thinking it over. Both genuinely engaged, just in completely different ways. You've been listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk and an eye-opening conversation Dr. Dobson had with Jeff and Shanti Feldhahn about bridging the communication gap between husbands and wives. Now, if you missed any portion of today's broadcast, or if you'd like to share these insights with someone who could benefit from them, visit drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. Once you're there, you'll find complete program information along with details about all of the Feldhahn's books, including For Men Only and For Women Only. That's at drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. Here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, we believe that strong marriages form the foundation of thriving families and healthy communities. When couples learn to truly understand each other, it strengthens not just their relationship, but their family's future. That's why we are dedicated to bringing you conversations like the one you just heard, practical, biblical wisdom that makes a real difference in your home. These broadcasts exist because friends like you recognize the importance of equipping families with God's truth in a culture that often misunderstands or even diminishes marriage. Your support helps us champion the beauty of lifelong commitment and genuine intimacy between husbands and wives. And when you partner with us financially, your tax-deductible donation enables us to continue offering hope and practical guidance to couples all across America. You can make a donation over the phone when you call 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. You can also send a donation through the U.S. Postal Service. Our ministry mailing address is Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, P.O. Box 39000, Colorado Springs, Colorado, the zip code 80949. Well, I'm Roger Marsh, and on behalf of Dr. James Dobson and all of us here at Family Talk, thanks so much for listening today. Be sure to join us again next time for part two of this insightful conversation with Jeff and Shanti Feldhahn. That's coming up on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, the voice you trust for the family you love.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.